Right, we are live. The camera might cut out halfway through this if you're watching on YouTube. Hopefully it won't. So, welcome back to the Chris Wall podcast. Now, today, I'm going to be talking through carbs. Now, the complexities and the sort of basics of carbohydrates as well. Because obviously everyone listening to this, not everyone is as versed up in the literature of the research of carbs, or quite frankly, they don't care. So the main point I want to try and get across today is more or less a reference tool and a little bit of education as well, like a podcast episode on education. Wow, you think this is a nutrition podcast or something? So the complexities and the basics of carbohydrates. Now, again, been getting a ton of questions, and I always do on carbohydrates. So hopefully in this episode, I will cover some of your confusions and some of your misconceptions around carbohydrates. So that's what I intend to do today. Tangents might be, might be a few tangents in there, but we will see. So yeah, carbs. The demonization of carbs, I think, came around the 2000s, where everyone was starting to glorify low carb, high fat, because they seen, well, quite frankly, the initial drop in scale weight when people converted to ketogenic diets, and the literature started to come out for that, so people started to jump on board, and it just quietly sprouted a lot of shit in the industry, along with all the ketone bullshit and, quite frankly, all the merchandise that come with it, which is quite frankly typical of the fitness industry to do. As soon as a trend starts coming in, they start selling merchandise, they start selling useless shit just to supplement their pockets in cash. So, not surprised there whatsoever. It's quite sad, really, but we'll move on. So, carbohydrates. When we think of carbohydrates, I think of them as sponges, quite simply because when we eat carbohydrates, it gets converted into glucose and it's stored in the muscles, and they then hold water, hence the sponge analogy. So when we think of carbohydrates, we've got to think of typically every molecule of carbohydrates, be it simple carbs, complex carbs, again, that blanket term into just sugar, they all boil down to getting converted into glucose, which is stored in the tissue. So we're going to dispel some of the bullshit and the myths just behind some of the types of carbohydrates and just what happens when you do consume them. Now, the basics of carbs. So carbs have 4 calories per gram, right? And for every gram of carb stored, we store at least 3 grams of water. If you want to be precise, it's going to be 2.7 grams of water per 1 gram of carb. The often confusion around complex and simple is, what type of carb should I be consuming? What are complex carbs? What are simple carbs? When we think of complex carbs, we've got to think of things like potatoes, rice, whole wheat pasta, whole wheat bread, and things like sweet potato. The complex carbs often contain quite a bit of fiber. All right, so fiber, which is good for our digestive tract, good for regular bowel movements, things like that. This is why I try and say to not even both my clients and people who listen or follow, try and get your mostly carbohydrates through complex carbs, because obviously the high fiber, people are lacking fiber these days. The recommendation for fiber, by the way, is 30 grams a day. You'd be surprised how low your fiber intake might be. Just have a little look now. If you track on MyFitnessPal, have a little check out of your fiber intake, because you'll be quite shocked when you see it's like 10 grams, 15 grams. I think in the UK, people typically tend to consume between 10 and 20. The recommended RDA, if you will, for fiber is 30 grams. So if you can try and get that in, again, keeps bowel movements regular, and it also helps along the lines of digestive health too. So there you go. Knowledge bomb number one. Simple carbs. So things like the sugar drinks, Haribo, pick and mix, things like this. They're the ones that get often scrutinized Obviously, because they are quite calorie dense, they're not very nutrient dense, but they're fucking delicious. So let's talk about them for a while. The misconception behind carbs is that the bad food or the junk food or the sweets, crisps, etc., or things do contain high sugar. And there's the whole fucking band train of people going, oh, it's addictive. And no, high sugary foods are only hyperpalatable, which is a fancy word for fucking delicious, when you pair them with fat as well. So high sugar, high fat. Think of a pastry. Now, think of a croissant. You have a plain croissant that's high in sugar, plain, cool, it's nice. You then add chocolate to that, fucking delicious. You then add butter to that as well, fucking even more delicious. So when we think of sugary foods like these, look at the fat content as well. That's what people often get their panties in a twist for, because sugar in itself as a single molecule is not addictive. Like, if this was the case, then people would be getting bags of Tate and Lyle straight from the shop and having it by the spoonful, which they're fucking not, I hope. So if this was the case, if sugar was addictive, then why skip the middle, man? Why jump the gun? Why not just have it straight out of the bag? You know, people, you know, sugar is addictive to cocaine. People aren't selling sugar on the street, they're selling bags of coke, which, again, is, in my opinion, more addictive, I'd say. The analogy that came from the study, which was done in mice, comparing, it was a glucose solution, like an oral glucose solution, and I think it was heroin or cocaine, and the mouse favored the oral solution of glucose, and the reward centers in his brain lit up more, because yes, it's glucose, but that, from that study, it's pretty like a straw man argument. We pull things out of context and we say, right, that's as addictive as cocaine. It's just not the fucking case. So if you were told that sugar is addictive, or if you think that you're addicted to sugar right now, you're not. You just have a problem with eating hyperpalatable foods, and you should probably change your food choices. Just saying. Right, glad I got that one out of the way quick. The insulin hypothesis. Now, before that, obviously, I'm going to describe what insulin is. Like I said, I'm not going to be trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about, or what I do, but I'm not going to try and sound fucking clever just to feed my own ego and to make myself sound clever, because quite frankly, I can't articulate words that well, but we'll try. Insulin. So insulin is a hormone secreted by the pancreas when you consume carbohydrates. Blood sugar, blood glucose levels goes up, blood sugar goes up, and insulin is secreted by the pancreas to bring it back down to baseline. Little science lesson boy there. The often misconception of this is that the higher insulin is, the more you hold on to body fat, and the more you hold on to, you know, store body fat, but this is simply not the case. So I've just pulled up something here about, obviously, that insulin hypothesis, just to counteract the argument. Now, just before I go on, if that was the case, and, you know, if the insulin hypothesis was correct, which is a high-carb diet will lead to weight gain because of a specific mechanism where carbs drive up insulin in the body, causing the body to hold onto fat and suppress calorie burn. That is the insulin hypothesis. Now, if that was the case, then we wouldn't be able to lose fat on a high-carb diet, which, obviously, typically speaking, one, anecdotally, and two, the literature says that, you know, time and time again, we've shown that a high-carb diet, as long as it's calorie-restricted, you know, if you're still in deficit, then we can still lose body fat. It hasn't suppressed calorie burn, and it hasn't, you know, made us store all body fat. It's been disproven. So when people try and say, oh, focus on insulin, or your insulin's too high, or get to fuck, it's not. It all boils down to calories. I don't know why we all of a sudden complicate things. We always find something to confuse ourselves with, or people often find things to confuse others with. You know, fitness gurus, people who try and sound fucking clever, which, to be honest, quite frankly annoys me. The main thing for body fat loss is if you adhere to a calorie deficit over a prolonged amount of time, you will lose body fat. That's not my opinion. That is the number one fundamental law of fat loss. So if anyone tries to fuck you over and say, oh, your insulin's too high, or try and restrict carbs, get the fuck. You don't have to. Simple. Well, not simple, but you know. Also as well, like, let's not forget social aspects. Like, when someone, for example, restricts carbohydrates or goes low carb or goes keto, the social aspect of that suffers. So, you know, you can't go for a fucking roast dinner, you can't go for a drink. Your boyfriend or girlfriend, if you're on a date night and you're trying to turn around and say, I can't have pizza because I'm on a fucking keto diet, she or he are going to think you're a fucking ball bag. You know, if you can't enjoy every element of your nutrition, of your life, because you're on a carb-restricted diet, then it's time to realign your values and also move the jumpers you see as goalposts. Because, quite frankly, carbs, this is like personally speaking, carbs are fucking fantastic. Like, high for energy, cognition, and fuck me, like, they are so nice. So the fact that someone has to restrict them, or they think they have to restrict them to lose body fat, is absurd. All right, so what annoyed me as well was the argument for fruit. So this comes a lot from people who've done some as well before, and Weight Watchers, because for some fucked up reason, I believe bananas, apples, or any fruit contain sins. So that then correlates a negative connotation towards food and towards fruit, which, from a fucking kid, you've always been told, have your five a day, eat some fruit and veg. Not to sound like an old fart, but yeah, do it. They're not fucking, it's not going to cause you to gain fat. The reason why you're fat isn't because you eat too much fruit. You walk to an obese person, the reason why he or she is fat is not because they've consumed too much fucking bananas, or pears, or apples. It's because they've eaten too many energy-dense foods that have made them more likely to be in a surplus for a long amount of time. No one's eating fruit and getting fat. So where the fuck did we get this from, okay? So the idealism behind fruit being bad, or, you know, fruit being bad for us, comes from, obviously, the derived from fructose. So fructose is in fruit, yes. But we're talking it's not even whole fructose as well. Let's not forget, not all of it's made up from fructose, okay? So the idealism behind that is I think it's called NAFLD, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. That is made prevalent by having a diet rich in fructose. However, we're talking things like high fructose corn syrup, we're talking junk food, we're talking heavily processed foods, heavily sugar refined foods. We're not talking fucking fruit. No one got a disease or a syndrome or anything like that coming from fruit. So I don't know where we get this from. I don't know where research is. No idea. Absolutely no idea where these come from. All right, but the fact that Slimmer's World and Weight Watchers are demonizing fucking fruits is far beyond me. Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that. The whole idea as well behind the low carb, high fat diet. So when you take out carbs from your diet, you lose a lot of water weight because you have no glycogen to retain water. Okay, so you have no carbs in your muscles, you have no ability to hold on to extra water from carbs. So therefore, yes, you lose a few pounds of water or a few kilos of water. This then obviously gives people a false notion that you're losing more body fat, right? So the, you know, you week one, you go on a ketogenic diet, you restrict carbs. After week one, you see, fuck me, 8 pounds. Fantastic. Not all body fat, all right? Not all body fat at all. It's the same with any diet. Any diet which is even high carb, low fat, or low fat, high carb, if you restrict energy for a week, they're going to lose a little bit in water retention first and a little bit in body fat as well. So even more so in ketogenic dieters. So it's like when you go on Facebook or Instagram and you see all the fucking, you know, oh, the fucking keto, or all the fucking comments of like keto pages and that. It's like a, what's it called? It's a echo chamber. So you go on a keto page on Instagram and you see all the fucking comments or like, yay, keto, I've lost this, or I've lost that. Or, you know, people look onto that and think, fuck, this must actually work because people are commenting and they're loving it. But it's like an echo chamber. If you go on anyone's page, sorry, camera out, thought it did. But yeah, what was I? The echo chamber on Instagram. So you go onto any keto page on Instagram and you'll straight away see that all the comments are like, oh, I lost this much weight on keto. I lost this much weight. And people go onto that and they see that it's worked for all these people and they straight away go, okay, if these people had success in, you know, dropping carbs, it must be the way to do it. It must be the magic pill, the magic bullet, which is quite frankly not the case. So it's pretty much, yeah, again, typical of the fitness industry to do that, to make all sorts of miraculous pages on Instagram selling this false dream of losing body fat. Like, the easiest way to lose body fat, fuck off. It's to restrict calories. End of. So, just wanted to touch on, like I said, dietary fiber. I said this earlier, but didn't really go into that too much depth with this. So, dietary fiber. So, the boring part, people might say, the boring part of carbohydrates is the ones derived from fiber. Which people quite frankly do overlook. Like I said, people in the UK consume less than 15 grams a day. And, you know, when the recommendation is 30 and above, people can get lazy and people can get complacent on not having this in their diet, then they experience gut issues. And I think even, correct me if I'm wrong, I think a link between PCOS and lack of dietary fiber can contribute towards more risk of PCOS. Might be wrong there. Don't know. I might check that. But yeah, the recommendations for carbohydrate oftentimes can, again, boils down to what you do day to day. So if you train really hard, if you sit in your arse all day, obviously your carbohydrate intake will be different. Now, just to go over, I won't get this up because again, my memory is terrible. The recommended, so there's boils down to three categories. We got the average sedentary person who does fuck all, who barely resistance trains. We've got someone who moves quite a lot, can be considered an athlete, or we've got, you know, the super athlete, the Tour de France person, the freak who does all the Ironmans, etc. So, the sedentary person, again, the recommendations, if you will, or the, you know, the requirements are 2 grams per kilogram of, like, if you're sedentary. So, if you're someone who sits in an arse all day and you do fuck all, 2 grams per kilogram, good place to start. If you're an athlete, and if you resistance train, if you weight train, if you want more energy for the gym, then 4 to 8 grams per per kilogram of body weight. And if you're an intense athlete, if you're an Ironman freak, or if you love fucking going on mad expeditions and triathlons or whatever, which is freaky, then 8 to 12 grams per kilogram. That's why when people do marathons and stuff, they vamp up the carb intake. And I've never seen someone do a marathon on a ketogenic diet. It's quite frankly dumb if you do that. Because carbs are really, 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 really beneficial for performance. I don't get why people don't get that notion. You know, people trying to hit PBs in the gym, but are saying that they don't eat enough carbs, or they don't eat enough carbs beforehand, and they're trying to expect themselves to hit a PB. It doesn't work like that. I don't know why people just don't, you know, have let carbs work in their favour. Now, obviously some populations will be exempt. Not exempt. What am I saying that for? Not exempt. Will be favouring low carb, high fat. So, you know, there's literature supporting low carb, high fat for populations like PCOS. If you are diabetic, it's not recommended you go keto. Like, I'm pretty sure, I think it's type 1 or type 2. If you do go fully keto, if you're type 1, you enter a state called ketoacidosis, and that can kill you. So, no, not recommended. But obviously, there is literature supporting, you know, low carb, high fat for people with, you know, PCOS, and I'm sure it's endometriosis as well. But again, sadly, the literature on endometriosis isn't as great as PCOS, which is quite shit. Tangent number 10. So, yeah, there are some people who do benefit or do favor from low carb, high fat or ketogenic diet, because don't forget, they're different. I'm sure low carb is around 20% or 15% of your total daily calories in carbs, and keto is bare minimal. So, you know, people who are epileptic can benefit off keto, because there's some literature support on it reducing seizures. But if you're not epileptic, then why the hell are you doing it? I'm just saying, if that's what you're into, like, that what works for you, if that makes you adhere to a deficit more, then go for it. All for it, right? So, yeah, I hope this has helped in a way. Again, quite a content heavy podcast episode, if I'm honest. But yeah, I wanted to just jump on and just speak a little bit, a waffle really, about carbs and bullshit. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast episode. I'm going to be trying to do a lot more of these. I know I always say that. And, you know, life gets in the way. Coronavirus gets in the way. Pandemics get in the way. But hey-ho, here we are. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, please consider sharing it. You know, I do these for free. So if you can mention your story, give it a like, give it a rating, or recommend it to someone else, then that will be amazing. So, yeah, I'll see you in the next episode. See ya.